Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good evening, everyone out there.
Hallelujah.
Under the sound of our voices tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is a special day because this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You've tuned into the program of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center, where the broken are made whole by God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This is a Wednesday International Victory Service.
Yes.
And we're emanating from, hallelujah, Baltimore, Maryland. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want to let you know, no matter what's going on in the world, we still got the victory. Hallelujah. You still got the victory. Your mama still got the victory. Your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, they still got the victory. How? If they're in Christ Jesus, they can't help but be victorious. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word of God says that he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. So if they're in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, they got the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to share with you right now, before we go any further, housekeeping suggestions. Get a pen, get a pencil, get a magic marker player, and get something to write on. We recommend a composition notebook. Holla, you heard that before, because we're going to get some scriptures, we're going to get some notes that will bless your soul, not just on today, but forever and ever, as long as you keep the notes, as long as you keep the word of God hidden in your heart. Hallelujah. This is your host, Bishop E.T. Byrd, and I think I have someone that you love to hear also on the line. Who's that on the line?
Huh?
Pastor Peaches, Pastor Willie Mae, a.k.a. Peaches Byrd. How you doing?
Yeah, glory to God.
Y'all out there in Radio Land, I just want to let you know that this lady is my wife, but she's also the sugar that sweetens my coffee. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She's the icing on my cake. Come on now. She's my banana pudding. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Hallelujah. We thank God, hallelujah, that she's been a blessing to me.
Don't get me excited.
Hallelujah. And to our 8 children, 17 grandchildren, and 6 great-grandchildren.
Glory to God.
Some of them dropping any day now. I don't know, but that's what I heard. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank God for all of you out there in the radio land. Hallelujah. 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 We thank, Apostle Margie Mercy. God bless you. And overseer Dr. Nevins. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank God for Mother 19 down there in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. I thank God for Jerry in Rocky Mountain and Dorothy down there in Tarboro, North Carolina, and Ricky and Georgia and Tony down there in South Carolina. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank God, hallelujah, for Angie Harris. How you doing, baby girl? From East Baltimore. And Yvette, hallelujah, and Mother Harris and the prayer warrior of the 10th magnitude, Brother Ronald Harris, hallelujah, all those in East Baltimore. And we thank God, hallelujah, glory to God. We thank God for Sterling on the West Coast. How you doing? Portland, Oregon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Portland, Oregon. Hallelujah. Holding up the bloodstained banner over there in Portland, Oregon. And hallelujah. Glory to God. I think we got a David somewhere. Hallelujah. We're dealing with a Delaware. We got a Barry and a Scooter and a Reggie. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Donya, God bless you, baby girl. Hallelujah. Tiffany, God bless you, baby girl. Hallelujah. We got the Blackwell Nation all over this nation. Come on now. Hallelujah. God bless you, Minister Linda Blackwell, head of the Hello Precious Ministry. God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Apostle Dustin Harper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Dr. Sharon Harper and Pastor Sharon Harper, God bless you. A whole lot of Sharon's around town. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank God for you. And Sandra Owens, the elder, Tommy Owens, God bless you. I saw your name in a book just recently, Elder Tommy Owens. God bless you. And Sandra Owens, I saw your name in a book too. Well, God bless you real good. Hallelujah. And Apostle Dwight Smith, hallelujah, Bishop, Apostle and Bishop Dwight Smith, glory to God, and Lady Linda Smith, God bless you too, glory to God, hallelujah, and Mildred Howard, glory to God, saw your name in the book too, Mildred Howard, God bless you, hallelujah, glory to God, we thank God for all of you, and Avis Moran, and Gall McElroy, hallelujah, glory to God, Lieutenant General Gall McElroy. McElroy. God bless you. Hallelujah. And we got the military on the and Major Brad Govard. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. And Isabel, hallelujah. And Stephanie and Steve and Diana and Leslie and Valerie and Don and Tony and Little Tony and Megan and Penny. God bless all of you. Wow, my goodness. Got some newcomers today. Hallelujah. And Donnie Smallwood. Hallelujah. God bless you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank God for all of you. Hallelujah. And Raymond Banks, oh, God bless you. Another prayer warrior. Hallelujah. And Rachel and Stephanie, God bless you real good. Hallelujah. God bless you. Pastor Jason Roosevelt, saw you in a book, too. And Charlene, God bless you. God bless you. And Gary Don Wilson, oh, my goodness. And Gloria, oh, Lord have mercy. God bless you, Gloria. Hallelujah. I know you done been through, but the word is through. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Mother Boopy, God bless you. Glory to God. Oh, man, I say we got some names out here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank God for all of you and tuned into this program. And look, we got to thank you for the seeds that have been sown from all over the world into this ministry. Hallelujah to the ministry of Helene Russell Ministries, building a hospital. Glory to God. I mean, you think about things you can be doing. Saving up to buy a new car. Saving up to buy a house. That sounds nice. Saving up to go on a vacation. That's nice. But when you sow to build a hospital, you are part of God's program too. Come on now. And we thank God for those that I've got folks from all over the place. God bless you, Avis Moran. God bless you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Minister Linda Blackwell, thank you for that bag of pennies. Glory to God. That's right. I said pennies. Because, see, y'all may not know, but one penny is worth, the last time I checked, it was worth 36.53 shillings in Ugandan money. And that's where we're building the hospital in Uganda. They got 43 million people, only 155 hospitals. Glory to God. I think they need a few more hospitals. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're building one. Hallelujah. With pennies. Glory to God. God bless you. Thank you so much. We love you. Hallelujah. Look. Y'all folks are talking about, I'm going to serve Lord all my life. I'm going to serve God with all my heart, strength, and mind, and body. Hallelujah. Well, see, you serve God by serving others. Come on now. You know in Matthew, the chapter 18, I think it's verses 23 to 35, it talks about serving others or not serving others and see what happens to you. I'll let you look that up. That's right. Matthew 18, I think it's 23 to 35. Now, write that down. Check it out later on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank God for you. Now, normally we have Pastor's Corner, but we're not going to do Pastor's Corner today because a lot of things have been happening in our country today, and we must address it in some way. And the strange thing about it is that we started a series on love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's love? What can we do with it? How do we show it or something? We were talking about love, just L-O-V-E, love. Yeah. And if you want to do it just like some of us do from down south, love, L-U-V, love. Come on now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because look, praise God. I used to tell folks, love is only a four-letter word until you put it into action. So sometimes, like I said, love, L-U-V, that's a three-letter word, but still put it into action. Then it's time to love. So you know how you can get rid of hatred and bitterness and wrath and all that kind of stuff? You love. Pastor Peaches.
Yes.
Yes, I'm getting ready to pray, but can you look up 1 Corinthians 13 chapter and put your finger in it and hold it until I call for it. Is that all right?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Father God, I thank you for this evening. I thank you, oh God, hallelujah, that you are the completeness of our families. You are our joy, our love, our wealth, and our health. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. Hallelujah. We thank you, oh God, that you caused us to listen and tune into this international victory service today. We got the victory no matter what it looks like out there, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it seems like, no matter even what it smells like. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you for the victory on today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Although the wind may be blowing, although the storm may be raging, glory to God, we still got the victory because Jesus is on board. Hallelujah. And he already decreed and declared. He said, he said, peace be still. So, Lord, we thank you for peace in the land. We thank you, Lord, peace in people's minds. We thank you, Lord, for them not being tricked by the enemy, not being a co-conspirator with the spirit of the Antichrist. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for where there's hate to give peace, to give love, oh God. Hallelujah. Where there's unruliness, give peace, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you, oh God. Right now, in Jesus' name, we pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl in our nation's capital, oh God. Right now, hallelujah, we pray for our elected officials, oh God. We pray, glory to God, right now, cover them all with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Protect them, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Devil, you a liar and the father of them. You done lied to every one of those folks that have been rioting, have been an insurrection in Washington, D.C. You are the liar and the father of liars, and the truth is not in you. We curse you and bind you in Jesus' name. And Matthew 16:19 and Matthew 18:18 says, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you, God. And we loose right now. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit in the land right now in Jesus' name. We thank you and we praise your name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, see, we're going to do something different. Like I said, we're not going to deal with we're not going to Pastor's Corner because this is for everybody. Whether you're in China or in Portland, Oregon, and Canada, and South America, Africa, Europe, Asia, India, glory to God. The Caribbean, wherever you are, this is for you. Pastor Peaches, can you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please?
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word.
Hallelujah.
Because it never changes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Mm-hmm. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Mm-hmm. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly. But when then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity.
Hallelujah. May the Lord add a blessing to his reading of his word. And the word for charity is love.
Amen.
Love. We talked about it before. We talked about it. We started on the series started on Sunday. And this was a replaying of a message that we gave back in 2006. But it's as fresh as yesterday's newspaper because it's the word of God. And I would say if we didn't need love before, we sure do need it now. And we got to understand that you got to follow the word of God, be like God as dear children, Ephesians 5:1. And the folk that were rioting, keeping insurrection in Washington, D.C., were not following Christ. They were following a man who has the spirit of the Antichrist. He will give you one thing and take away five things. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. He's a liar, and the truth is not in him. Hallelujah. I think that's 1 Peter 5:8. Hallelujah. People got to understand you can't follow a person who doesn't follow Christ. Because if he doesn't follow Christ, the same ditch that he's fallen into, you're going to fall into. And then he'll get himself out of that ditch and blame you for everything. And I tell you, it's time for those folks, and I hope that none of the charismatics were in that crowd today who arrived, who were running through the Capitol building and trashing stuff and breaking windows and causing people to be, I think someone said that someone got killed.
Amen.
Many were injured.
Mm.
Why? Because you're following a lie. And it's time for you to wake up.
Wow.
Time for you to start loving instead of hating.
Amen.
Time for you to start. What's the scripture in the 5th chapter of Matthew? Blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
It's time for you to be a peacemaker, not a warmonger.
Amen.
Hallelujah, but we thank God. Hallelujah. You may have gifts, baby, but you nullify all the good that you do by the lack of love. And there's a scripture talking about love is what? Kind. Is that what it says? Love is patient.
Yeah.
Does not behave itself unseemly. Hallelujah. I'm gonna leave it alone. I tell you that. Look, let me just share something with you. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit. You're supposed to be saved. You're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Love is supposed to be coming out of your pores. If you got love, you got joy. And Nehemiah 8. Verse 9 and 10. Can you read that just for a second? I need to show y'all something. Because this is a special day. Read this. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter.
Nehemiah 8.
Verse 9 and 10.
and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord, your God.
Stop right there. This day is holy unto God because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Go ahead and read.
Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law.
Don't you cry. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. The Bible says, you owe no man but to love them. God said, that's the law of God. John 12:30-31 says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And 31 says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is the law. There's nothing more important than these two things. Don't weep about this. Just do it. Continue to read.
Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Mm-hmm. Neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength.
What are you See, you got love. See, that joy, it's not that you being happy. It's you just being happy and reaching out because of that love. You reaching out and feeding folks that don't have nothing. I mean, worried about who got elected. And your boy didn't get elected, and still you done left your home and people homeless, without food, sick, at home, and you came all the way to Washington to heap malice and mayhem. You should have stayed home.
Amen.
'Cause you want joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
It's time for you to go to God. Have faith in God. Anyway, thank you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Look, you do love. You put joy and love together. Guess what you get? You get peace. You put love, joy, and peace together. Guess what you get? Long suffering. That's patience. Holy mackerel. Yes, I said patience. You put love, joy, peace, and patience together, you get goodness and gentleness. You put love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, and you put it together with the faith in God. Hallelujah. Put it all together. You easily to have faith in God and the faith of God. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And then you got all that hooked up. That equals controlling yourself.
Hallelujah.
And controlling your temper. You say, well, wait a minute, I thought it's meekness. Meekness is strength under control.
Hallelujah.
Meekness is power under control. Temperance is your emotions under control. People forgot to let God lead them. They were letting their emotions lead them. And every time you allow, I don't care who you are, you may be the mayor. You may be the governor. You may be a teacher. You may be the candlestick maker. If you allow your emotions to lead you, you will make a mistake.
Amen.
And that's what they made today. Mistakes. Because they were emotional. You think about it. Don't Don't even look at what happened in Washington. Think about what's happening in your life. All the times you made a mistake. All the times you, hallelujah, some of you even went to jail for stuff. Your sin, your mistake, your misstep, your faux pas was based in making a decision with your emotions leading you. The Word of God says, let the Spirit lead you. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, you want to be good or bad or ugly? We say, well, what's ugly? That's bad multiply. Glory to God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Of a bad or ugly person, ordered by the devil, by the flesh.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. We thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank God. Well, look, I'm going to do this. We're going to have the message first, and then we're going to do Holy Communion because it's important. What time do we have, sis? 7:31. Hallelujah. We're going to play this message, and then we're going to stop for a Holy Communion at about 5 or 10 minutes after 8. All right. Thank the Lord. We, again, are continuing the message on love. It's important. Now, I'm normally giving a testimony. In fact, I talked to someone on the phone today. They had a testimony. They gave it to me. I'm going to give it tomorrow, next Wednesday, not today. Hallelujah. But here we go back into the message we started on Sunday.
And many years later, God blessed me with the beautiful husband I have now. But I'm thinking, God, is this what has happened between these couples? You know, I thought, you know, some things is kind of, it's harder. It's harder to forgive when you are married to someone and they have committed adultery. It's such a hard thing to get past because the enemy plays on the person's mind, plays on that wife's mind if it's the husband that was in wrong. And the wife has to really submit the emotions and everything unto the Lord so that she doesn't constantly put it in their husband's face, put it in his face, well, you did this and that, you did this and that, you know, and making him feel guilty, which would prohibit.
Let me stop for just a second. Let you know that we're talking about love, and love begins at home.
Amen.
Love begins at home. And this conversation, this is a conversation between my wife and a dialogue between my wife and myself, and we are talking about love. Where does it begin? It begins at home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's continue.
On past that moment, you know, sometimes we have to be taught how to minister forgiveness to a mate. And so that God can bring on the healing and so that you can get past that moment, because it is possible to get past that moment and to see the beauty in the relationship past that. And I guess the Lord is still, still teaching me, still showing me, you know, that there always will be differences of opinion, even in saved couples. That are saved through the Holy Ghost and that's married. You know, that's something I guess I'll always be asking the Lord. You know, God, you know, just show me and show me how to minister to my husband. Show us how to continue to minister to each other, Lord God, so that we don't fall into the pitfalls that others have, that the enemy that the enemy desires to set up for a saved couple, so that we will always be an example to others.
Praise the Lord. You said so much there, I tell you. What can I say? I know that in the scripture that we read in
First Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it does mention, and it seems to some people maybe it's odd or out of place, but it does mention about when I was a child, I acted as a child, you know, I did things as a child, but when I became an adult, I put away childish things. Now, what does this have to do with love? I mean, this is in the love chapter, isn't that right? Well, see, if you can just, you have some kids, you think about your children. If you don't have any children, think about yourself when you were a child. You were very selfish. Come on now. You had an ego, and there was one point in your life you thought you knew everything. Nobody could tell you anything. In fact, you thought you knew more than your parents did. Come on now, tell the truth. Let's be honest. In some relationships, it's the same way. That's the childish thing. See, I told other folk and my wife and I, we know that when you get married, ego is left at the altar. It's not. In your marriage, there should never be an occasion where you say, I'm the man or I'm the woman. I mean, hey, that's what a child says, because that's obvious. You're a man or you're a woman. That's obvious if you're married together. There are some situations where that's going on. Before my wife and I got married, we sat down and we talked plain with one another. We talked about how we were going to resolve differences, how we were going to do this and that, because this is also my second marriage, my second and my last marriage. My first, I was a knucklehead. And I can't call you a knucklehead. I don't know all of you listening to this podcast. I may know some of you, but I don't know all of you. But I know I've been a knucklehead in my life. And I got married for all the wrong reasons the first time. But I thank God for all things to work together for good. Four fantastic children from that union. My wife had four fantastic children from her union. When we got married, we were the Brady Bunch. We had eight children, six girls and two boys. So we knew we had to have some kind of game plan going into the marriage. We couldn't play it by ear. You don't play life by ear. There's some super spiritual saints that talk about, I don't plan anything. I just go day to day. You're an accident going somewhere to happen. I'm going to tell you that. And you're a knucklehead. So we sat down prior to marriage. We talked about all kinds of stuff. We talked about what are we going to do with differences of opinion. And we decided that before we went out in front of the kids, we're going to resolve differences in the bedroom. And it wasn't about I'm the man, I'm the woman. It wasn't that. We realized that marriage was not 50-50.
Amen.
Hello? I know that's shocking some of you right now, because you've always been taught marriage is 50-50. Marriage is 100%, 100%. You sell out to your mate. This is a person that's supposed to have your back. You better sell out 100%, 100%. Because if it's 50-50, everybody's got their eye on the line. Okay, that's your 50% of the person. No, it's 100% and 100%. The purpose of marriage is to bring everybody, replenish the earth, of course, be fruitful and multiply, to glorify God, destroy the works of the devil, to raise some children, in the admonition of the Lord, praising God, knowing God, knowing what God stands for, knowing what God wants out of a person, sharing with children, sharing with others, an example. That's about marriage. It's more to it than that, but lack of time, I'll just share that. Well, we sat down and we talked about stuff, and one of the things we talked about the difference of opinion. And here's the key. And y'all need to really understand this. We said, since two people don't feel exactly the same about any one given subject, I said to her, and she said to me the same thing, I said, honey, if you feel more strongly about something than I do, I'm going to yield to you in that. Because the Bible talks about submitting one to another. Talks about the wife submitting to the husband, but it also in several scriptures talks about submitting one to another. So I will submit to her. If I felt strongly about a subject, more strongly than she did, then she would submit to me. Now, if there's a situation that's a life or death situation, then as the head of the home, I have to stand on that. I will feel real strong about that because I don't want to lose my wife or any member of the family. So, you know, that is the exception to that rule, but I will feel more strongly about that. So, again, if you can understand what I'm saying, in a difference of opinion, the one who feels the most strongly about a subject, that's the direction with which we go. It may be the wrong decision. We'll find out. We go down that path, wrong decision. Oh, hey, let's try it another way. You never say in marriage, I told you so. Never. We just do it another way. Also, it's important, when you go out that room, you do this in your bedroom or went up, away from the children, and that's just what I'm saying. When you go out in front of the children, if you have a blended home, blended family like we have, you spoke with one voice. When she spoke, I'm speaking. When I spoke, she was speaking. One voice. It got to be comical in a way because one set of children, first of all these children are mine. I claim them all. But for example's sake, I'm saying her children would be saying, someone would say, my mother doesn't have a mind of her own. And my children, and basically what the boys would say,
you're going to flip that over, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed. Are you getting anything out of this?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
I'm enjoying it myself.
Man, hallelujah. I mean, hearing your voice from 14 years ago. Isn't that something?
Glory
14
God.
Years. My goodness. Well, bless God. Here we go again.
It's whipped. Daddy is whipped. Now, you see, they're both saying the same thing. Because they're looking at it from their corner of the sky. But see what it was? See, we were black in the bedroom because we would have our differences in the bedroom, but they would never know. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, I learned this through dealing with my children. And this is something that I've used several times in sharing with you, those who've been listening and have been in church, about when there's a heated situation in the home. That's like a fire. And folks say, well, y'all just got to, work it out right then and there. Don't go nowhere. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Again, I say this. If there's a fire in your house and you done call the fire department and they come, they're not going to put out a house fire by putting some more fire on your house.
Amen.
So if you want to cool the fire, you got to cool the fire. You got to put some water on it. Or you got to, at the very least, get out of the presence of the fire for a little while. Hallelujah. So we understood all of this kind of stuff. And we were able to flow together. Is that right, honey? And it's been a blessing. I'm going to tell you. There's one great thing that we realized, too. Even as we began to be called and God called us supernaturally to pastor church. We're not going to that now, but one day we'll share that. But the thing about it, please, God, we knew that it was very important for us to be together. And so we instituted, in fact, before we even got married, we instituted date night. In fact, I was talking about date night. I had seminars around town talking about date night 30 years ago. And a lot of preachers you hear now talk about date night. I'm not talking about once a month or once in a while. I'm talking about every week you have date night. And we've been doing it ever since we've been married. And folks see us now, and that's the real new ways. And we have date night every week. My kids know. My friends know. I have folks down in North Carolina know that Wednesday is date night because they keep calling on Wednesday. They keep thinking, oh, this night is date night. Right, we are out. Pastors of the church have date night. See, you want to lead your flock closer to God. You want to lead your flock in a good place. You want to be a good example. This is one way you become a good example, pastor, bishop, evangelist. You have a date night with your husband. You have a date night with your wife every week, not when you get a chance. You don't, you're the pastor, you're the bishop, you can program your days of what you do. Hallelujah. You're a minister, that's all right. You let your pastor know, sir, pastor, Tuesday night or Thursday night or Wednesday night or Monday night or Saturday night or Friday night, whatever day you decide between the two, you and your wife, and date night, that's it. So, pastor, this night, you know, I love you, I care for you, I do anything for you, but on date night, I can't help you out. You have to find somebody else because I'm doing something more important than building the church. You say, how can you say that? Well, you see, you go back to Genesis. The family came before the church. Come on now. I said the family came before the church. The only reason why the church came was because the family fell. So what we got to work on? You want to work on the band-aid, or you want to work on the injury? The injury is in the family. The family needs to be strong. That's why Paul told Timothy, hey, you got to, you want to be a minister, you want to be a bishop, you want to be this, that, and the other, you better rule your house. It did not mean having a big stick and beating everybody into submission in your house. That's not what they're talking about. That was caring and loving your wife and caring for your children. So date night is a spiritual thing as well as a physical thing because your family got to be rock solid. Your home life got to be rock solid because I'm going to tell you, the winds and waves of this life will beat upon your church, your car, your house, your school, wherever you're in, your job, whatever. The winds and waves, and if you are not rooted and grounded in your home, I'm going to tell you, it's going to fall. Your stuff is going to fall. Your stuff will be shaky. So watching you. That's why we go in some churches and seems like poking at each other's throat. Well, you look at the pastor. He and his wife don't hardly talk in church. He and the pastor and his wife don't go out to dinner every week. Don't go out and minister to one another. They ain't got time because they're running this program and that program and this one. And they don't even go on vacations. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, you may not shout at what we're talking about today, but I want you to understand that it's very important for you to see that you have to set the example. Why do you think God used sheep as the analogy? You can't get behind sheep and drive them. They're going all directions. What do you got to do with sheep? You got to get in front of them and lead them. You know, in the world, one out of two marriages end in divorce. You know what it is in the church? Two out of three. Say what? Two out of three, because everybody think they got, glory to God, everybody think that in the family think they got a revelation from God. Well, I got a revelation for God. God said, build that family. God said, take care, love your wife like Jesus, hallelujah. Love her, love the church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You got to understand that this is real. You got to go on a vacation, not for just for you and your wife, but for your children and for your people you hang around. Come on now. Because some folks don't want to be in your presence. You up there on the edge of being burnt out, and you burning up everything you touch. Why is that preacher so mean? Why is that evangelist so mean? Look like she's been sucking on pickles all day long, eating a pizza all day long. Her hands all sticky and everything. Why? She hasn't been on vacation in 10 years. Lord, Jesus, I don't want to be in your house. Wonder why folk leave the house. Folk, children don't want to go home. Talking about the preacher's kids. Why they don't want to go home? They run in the street. You know why they run in the street? They don't see no love at home. They're too busy building a work. Yes, a knucklehead. Yes, I'm talking to you, Bishop. I'm talking to you, Pastor. I'm talking to you, preacher, you missionary, evangelist. You've gone all over the town, all over the country, all over the world, and you ain't got time for your husband. You ain't got time for your wife. You're going over all over the world. If you can't take your wife with you and still have a date night, then you're out of order. Oh, yes, sir. I said that. And I'm big enough to represent what I said. And if you don't like what I said, come on, yeah, I'll tell you where I live. But if you're going all over the place and you can't take your wife with you so y'all can still have date night, you're out of order.
All right.
If you're going all over the world and you can't take your husband with you so y'all can have date night, you're out of order. But somebody got to watch the kids. Why? He wasn't called to watch the kids. You get a babysitter. That's what the babysitter. Someone sitting with your babies.
Priest,
I'm getting kind of bust up here. But once a year, listen to me. This is for everybody, not just the pastors, not people in ministry. I know we almost finished this tape. We got to do this again. And Pastor Willie, I know, get you back in here. But once a year, you got to take a vacation. 10 days to 14 days. Not a week's vacation. 10 days to 14 days. You take a vacation. Now, that's the vacation between you and your spouse. I'm not talking about taking your kids with you. Once a quarter. Now, a quarter, that's every 3 months. Is that right? You take a mini vacation. You say, wait, all these vacations, I mean, I ain't got time for that. You don't have time not to do this because you're showing an example. You got to be rooted and grounded. You got to be balanced. We got a lot of unbalanced preachers. We got a lot of unbalanced bishops out here. We got a lot of unbalanced missionaries out here. That's right. I'm talking about you. Because you got everything, doing everything, but you ain't doing nothing for your home. You ain't doing nothing for yourself. And look, Jesus made the sacrifice already. Come on now. A mini vacation is 1 to 4 days. 1 to 4 days every 3 months. And then one major vacation a year. Then, hallelujah. I got to do this. You got to have your date night. So you got date night. You got your mini vacation, you got your major vacation. And one other thing you got to have. Now, I'm talking about husband and wives now. I'm talking about husband and wives. Y'all got to find yourselves a theme song. Hallelujah. Honey, did we find a theme song?
Yes, we did.
And we found the theme song. Now, for all you super spiritual saints out there, y'all ain't going to like what I'm getting ready to do, but that's all right. I'm going to play a little bit of our theme song, and I'm going to let you know. It means so much. When I hear this song, I think about my wife. I got on the phone the other day, glory to God, and I almost spoke in tongues, talking to somebody else about my wife. Now, I was going to read the Proverbs 31, but y'all know about that. The man sitting at the gate talking about his virtuous woman. Come on now. I got a virtuous woman, and it's not a woman people talk about, well, the Bible said that women ought to be barefoot and pregnant. Where is that at? I see this woman here. This woman had 4 or 5 jobs. Hallelujah. I mean, she took care of business. She bought land. Hallelujah. She sold land. She must have been a landlord, and she bought land. Somebody was there. Hallelujah. She made clothes. She was, what do you call it, tailor, seamstress, or whatever you call it. And then she had a store in town. Took her stuff to town. Come on now. I'm talking about this virtuous woman. Come on now. So all you knuckleheads are talking about the Bible saying that a woman ought to just be barefoot and pregnant. You're the most ignorant talk I ever heard. Excuse me. I'm sorry. But anyway, look. We got a theme song. Hallelujah. And you spiritual saints, y'all gonna just have to put your fingers in your ear because I'm gonna play a little bit of our theme song. Let's see if I can get to it right now.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. A lot of times we think that we have to spend money. When we have date night, you have to spend money, but you don't have to. Just spend time with each other, listen to music, putting on some candles, just, you know, preparing an atmosphere. Perhaps just a little picnic. Lunch right on the living room table, on the bedroom floor.
All right, here it is. Now, you super spiritual saints, I'm sorry for you. But I just got to share a little bit of this.
I mean, really, when you really sacrifice, you really, really. Yes. I really feel myself somewhere. More and more ways. That's the world of my home. nobody but you and me. We got it together, baby.
Your life and your home should be an oasis
in the desert of unrighteousness. You say, I'm living in the middle, inner city. I'm living places where there's drugs and there's violence and stuff. But your home should be an oasis of love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor Willie, you have anything you want to say?
I was saying earlier, a lot of times we think, well, oh gosh, I can't afford date night. I can't, I don't have money to afford for my husband and I, my wife and I every week to go to a date night. But you know what? There's a $3 movie in town. You know what? And the popcorn is reasonable. You'd rather you can eat before you even leave. There are ways that if you consult God, He will give you witty inventions. He will give you good ideas. He'll give you things that you can come up with that your mate would enjoy. You know, now the weather is nice, the weather's breaking. What's wrong with taking a blanket to a park and sitting under a tree? Take some massage oil with you, okay, and massage each other's feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not, I don't think, inappropriate for being out in public. You know, massage each other's hands. Just look in each other's eyes and read poetry to each other.
Come on,
okay?
Then.
Walk the malls. Walk. Go downtown to the inner harbor. It's beautiful down there. Go down to the east side of the harbor. Walk and hold hands. Tell each other. Recapture those moments that you once had before you were married. Recapture those moments. Don't allow it to be such a, you know, long time that when you're sitting down thinking about your mate, you're trying to think, well, when was the last time he told me he loved me? When was the last time he even held my hand? You know, we shouldn't have to think so hard and so long trying to think of the last time our mate said something sweet and nice to us. Find a poem. Pull that poem out. You know how sometimes when you were dating your husband or you would call your husband up in the middle of the day. You knew what time he had lunch, and you say, "Hey, sweetie, I just called to tell you that I love you." You know, do that. Recapture those moments. Bring them back. And don't you know it makes things fresh and anew? Don't you know, wife, if you do those things to your husband, now he will be running home to you in the evening to see what else you have planned for him. You know, and let him come home to the children perhaps being at grandma's house or the children already being in the bed. Because that's your special night. Have a candlelit dinner. Have dinner on the bedroom floor. Have a blanket. Have fruit. Have crackers and cheese. I mean, have a theme. Make a theme up for the bedroom that night. And just if you want to enjoy a beautiful, decent movie, or turn off the television and just have Barry White or Teddy Pendergrass or somebody to sing Love Dallas on the stereo. Have it and just have time between the two of you and ask God to anoint that time, to bless that time.
Amen.
And don't you know, you'll both wake up the next morning refreshed and anew, and don't you know, you love each other a little bit more each time. Oh, God, it's just so beautiful. God made husband and wife and he made couples. And don't you know, it's so much that comes against the husband and wife, period. While he's out there working and while she's out there working in the secular world, that when your mate comes home, when y'all see each other, y'all need a time of just ministering to each other, because so much stuff, so much crap is piled on us out there in the secular world, that when you get back to each other in the evening, when you see each other, you need to just hold, just embrace and say, honey, how was your day? And don't you know that will help erase everything that person has gone through during that day? It'll let them know, hey, it's going to be all right. Don't you know, if a husband is out there and he's on a job and especially if he's in a supervisory position or he's running around a whole lot of women, okay? But if you keep things hot and sweet and steaming at home, he'll have no reason to stray, because he'll know, oh, no, I've got something better than all of these women at home. And so, therefore, when he comes home to you and you're not in hair rollers and a dust coat or whatever, and you're fresh and smelling like a flower, you know, because you knew what time he was going to come through the door, and so, therefore, you'll refresh yourself and you'll renew yourself and your hair is done, you know, don't you know, you say, oh, thank God. Thank God I didn't look at that woman twice. Thank God that I had it on on the inside of me to rebuke those thoughts that was coming through my mind. Thank you for allowing me to have a companion at home. All right? While there are plenty of things we can do to make husbands run home in the evening.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And husbands, I just want you to know that when your wife comes home and you ask them, how was your day, let them tell you. Don't be interrupting them and trying to give them a solution. I know men, we're wise. We're solution folk. We want to give solutions. Just bite your tongue and just listen. You ask her, how was your day? And she's telling you, just keep quiet. Listen. And only offer a solution what it's asked for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you. But look, here's another way that you need to understand. And I know you've heard this all the time from psychologists, from a lot of people. There should be compromise in marriage. Forget that. That's not biblical. What's biblical is consensus. Oh, what's another word for consensus? Submission. In other words, I may not agree with you, but I'm going to submit to you. I'll go along with you. So 50-50 compromise. In fact, compromise is between two enemies. There are some churches, and I understand why they do it because it sounds nice, but it's not really biblical for us to use it. They say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we have some one for another. Amen. That was between two enemies, Jacob and his father-in-law. They were ready to kill each other because of, Jacob's father-in-law was ready to kill him because of the little trick. Well, everybody was a trickster. He tricked Jacob tricked him. But they were asking the Lord to watch in that area that's between, that would separate them, make sure that he don't cross the line the other one, no, we don't want that. So you that continually say that, use something else as your closing benediction. We're not enemies. So compromise is between enemies. The Missouri compromise is between enemies. People lost their lives because of the conflict that resulted in the Missouri compromise. Compromise is between two enemies, two people who love each other. They should deal with consensus, submitting to one another as the Bible has said. Hallelujah. Men, I tell you, don't wait till Valentine's Day to send your honey a Valentine or flowers or to say something nice or take her out to a dinner, take her out to a special occasion. I'm going to tell you, if you start treating and doing the things that we've shared today, would you like, folk will get on board with what you're doing. I'm going to tell you, I've had people to give me $100 in my hand, and that was our date night money. Hallelujah. Didn't expect it. I've had someone else to give me money, so look here, I know this is your date night. Take this. I mean, you start doing it right. You start paying attention to your wife, preacher. You start paying attention to your first lady, preacher, bishop. So, got their eye on you anyway. Guess what? You may not believe this, but they got their eye on your wife too. And they see how you respond to her. You in church and your wife has to call your name three times. There's a problem with that. You know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. They know my voice. Another man can go out and he's calling the sheep. Sheep won't move. But the shepherd of that flock, when he speaks, the sheep hear, they will come. The same thing about marriage. You ought to be tuned into your wife's voice. There may be 50 people talking at one time, but your wife says, honey, and you hear. And you move in that direction. You don't tell your wife, wait a minute. You might tell sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Excuse me just a second. I have to check on something. Because your wife called you. Hum is where it starts. I got to show love to all my 10,000 members. Fantastic. You also have to be an example, and it starts at home. You treat your wife good in public and at home, your members will start treating their wives and their husbands right. It'll be catchy. Praise God. You go on your date night and go to the movies or go wherever your religiosity allows you to go, and you'll be bumping into other folk on their date night from your church because you're setting an example. Plus, you're not in sync with the deacons and with the ushers and with the technicians as you used to because you're taking your vacations and you're having your date night. And your children, you're more patient. But you know, I've seen preachers more patient with the members of the church than they are with their own families. That's backwards. You don't put the cart before the horse. You may be able to go a couple of steps, but not very far. It starts at home, Bishop. It starts at home. Evangelist, it starts at home. Again, I'm going to tell you something. If you can't take your wife with you on that trip and keep your date night, then I'll tell you what you do. On your date night, you fly back. You keep your date night and then fly back to that spot. If you can't do that, then, buddy, keep your butt at home. Excuse me. Keep your derriere at home. But I got to go out and preach, because the preacher's in there. I got to go out and heal the sick and raise the dead. No, you got to do what God said do. God said it starts at home. The scripture does say, where will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I don't think God would be angry at me if I were to say, what would a prophet, a preacher, an evangelist, a teacher, a prophet, or whomever, to gain a tremendous following and lose his home? Love your wife as Christ loves the church. Love your husband as Christ loved the church.
Hallelujah. I think that's a good place to stop it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Love is the principal thing. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
That God mentions in his word in Galatians 5:22. Mm-hmm. Love. There's another scripture that says love covers a multitude of sins. Love will carry you further than anything else. Love took Jesus to the cross, to the grave, out the grave, and back to heaven. Love lifted me when I was seeking deep in sin and far from the peaceful shore. I wish I knew the rest of the words that I saw. Hallelujah. But love lifted me. Glory to God. Hey, I know y'all were set up and say, listen to him. He sounds like a preacher. Hallelujah. I would be if I knew the words of that song. Hallelujah. But I know love lifted me. When nothing else could help, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. And right now, hallelujah, we're dealing with the meal that heals. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Holy Communion right now in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, for Holy Communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 34. And we examine ourselves right now, and we comprehend, be fully aware, we do understand what your body and blood has done for us. We rightfully discern the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift up the elements of Holy Communion. We thank you for them. We ask that you would bless them, anoint them, sanctify them in Jesus' name. Isaiah 53:5 says, you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon you, and with his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, with his stripes we were healed. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Revelations 1:5 says, you washed our sins with your own blood. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14 and Matthew 26:28 says, our sins are forgiven because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have redemption through the blood. Thank you, Lord. So we comprehend, be fully aware. We do understand what your body and blood has done for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now your word said that he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to themselves. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Well, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be God the Lord. We are taking communion worthily because we rightfully discern the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I set before you life or death, blessings and curses. Choose life that you and your children shall live. Psalms 118:17 says, you will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Numbers 23:19 says, God, you are not a man that you should lie, but your word will do what it was set up to do. And Isaiah 55:11 says, your word will not come back void, but it will accomplish, it will prosper what you have sent. So we thank you for your word, O God. Hallelujah. On the same night when the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And when they'd given thanks, he broke it. Hallelujah. And declared, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing already. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Hallelujah. Your word said, Luke 4:18, you want to heal us everywhere we hurt. So we thank you, Lord, for healing every area of our life, spiritual, emotional, physical, social, and financial healing. Thank you, Lord, for healing every system of our bodies, the alimentary system, the cardiovascular system, hallelujah, the endocrine system. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The genital system, the integumentary system, the musculoskeletal system, the nervous system, the respiratory system, the urinary system. We thank you, Lord, for healing from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, from inside out and outside in. We thank you, Lord, for creative miracles right now in Jesus' name. Supernatural creative miracles. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name, O God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that healing is the bread of your children. And we are your children and the sheep of your pasture. Hallelujah. Matthew 15:26, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Psalms 100, and Galatians 3:26. And likewise, on the same night, you took also the cup, and when they had given thanks, you declared, this is the New Testament in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is already on the doorposts and lintels of our hearts. It's on the doorposts and lintels of our homes. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, covers our homes, our families, our loved ones, our jobs, our ministries. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. We thank you that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already covers our past, present, and future sins, our missteps and mistakes, our faux pas and failures. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. We thank you that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers us as we sleep, as we travel in vehicles throughout the land, as we work and play, as we walk and talk, as we worship and praise. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already undoes, unties, severs, cuts, nullifies, brings to naught, makes a no effect, brings to nil. Every ungodly soul tie, it destroys it utterly. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit, allow you to testify. We thank you that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, nullifies, brings to naught, makes a no effect, brings to nil, decimates, annihilates, discombobulates, utterly destroys every curse against us and our families, every hex, every spell. We call down the fire of heaven on every curse against us and our families, every spell, every hex. Fire, 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 fire. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Holy Communion on tonight. We remember you, Lord. We bless your name, O Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Singing glory to his name. Precious name. Glory to
his name. Precious name.
There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to
his name.
Hallelujah. And Father God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you for, hallelujah, family daily confession, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Bless your name, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We speak for every man, woman, boy, or girl in our family, in our extended family. Hallelujah. According to Genesis 1:26.
Thank you, Jesus.
And hallelujah. Psalms 115, verse 16. And hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 2:10. We were made in your image in the likeness of God. I was created. We were created to rule, have dominion, and dominate the earth, have sovereignty over the earth. We are your workmanship, O God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We decree and declare according to your word in Job 22:28, Romans 4:17, hallelujah. 2 Kings, the first chapter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. We decree and declare that we are mighty men and women of valor, shaped in the image of God, full of integrity and truth, mighty thinkers in Jesus' name, lean, clean, spiritual kingdom machines. We know who we are from your perspective, and we are not intimidated by anything in this life. We are kingdom citizens. We are fivefold ministry gifts.
Yes.
Gifts to the ministry of health. We are brilliant. We're awesome. We're amazing. We're intelligent. We're powerful. We're perfect.
Perfect.
Strong.
And mighty.
We're beautiful in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now to him who's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. In Jesus' name, Jude 1, verses 24 and 25. So let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Pastor Peaches, do you want to share?
Thank you, Jesus.
Right, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I thank God for the, I guess, for the tape that was, I guess it was done years ago on love, but the word of God doesn't change. It still stands today. It still stands today. And I heard recently, you don't throw hatred at hatred. You throw love. When somebody is hating on you, when someone is doing something that is contrary to the word of God, you have to love them. You have to find ways of showing that person love. It's not going to, you don't want to, just like the pastor said, if your house is on fire, you don't take fire to the house to put out the fire. The word of God is going to stand. And sometimes we may feel like, oh, we're being used, or the person is taking advantage of you. No matter how much good you do, the person can keep on doing this to you or whatever. You know what? They're going to get tired. The word of God is going to weigh out. It's going to pan out. It's going to win in the end. At least that person won't be able to say, well, wow, you did the same thing to me I did to you. No. When Jesus Christ so loved the world that he gave, he loved, so he gave. And we had, in order for us to, one of the when you love somebody, you give. Okay, so therefore, and that's the difference between the people of God and the people of the world. That's the difference in the people of God and the people of the world. When you love, you're gonna give. You're gonna give them your love. Hallelujah. When you love somebody, you're gonna give of yourself. You're not gonna you want to break whatever that thing is that the enemy is showing is shining through them.
Yes.
And when you love somebody, they can't continue spewing out hatred and meanness and stuff. That love is gonna break through. At least they won't be able to say, "Ain't nobody ever showed me that they love me." They won't be able to say that.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ loved us even when we were most unlovely. No matter what we do, he still shows us that he loves us.
Hallelujah.
Dude, I know at a contrary time in my life, that's when the Lord was blessing me with the things that I had been wanting for a long time. And it made me feel so bad. I was like, oh, my gosh, how can I continue to do this? And God is showing, Jesus is showing me that he loves me so much. Saints of God, continue to love. It's going to work. It's going to work. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And we want to thank those who have sown the $1.21 to the building the hospital. We thank God for you. And Pastor Peaches, you want to bless some people by telling them about some employment. I say, if y'all want to hear about somebody looking for a job, after this program, call 410-444-5152. Again, that's 410-444-5152. A recent novel, The Awakening of a Superhero. It's on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. We go a portion of that book, proceeds from that book sale, to build the hospital. Again, that's The Awakening
of a Superhero.
Available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. Praise God. And again, if you have pennies like our sister did, what yesterday, we had people that we had one lady to call, and she had about 50 pounds of pennies. Hallelujah. I don't care if you have 5 pounds or 50 pounds of pennies, 100 pounds of pennies. You can call that number, 410-444-5152. Hallelujah, glory to God. We can come and pick it up. Now, if you live in Australia or someplace else, take it to the bank and let them turn it into cash, and then you can get a money order or write it in a check. Hallelujah, glory to God. But we thank God for people showing from all over the world. Hallelujah. We thank God for the 1,000 pastors of the Renewing Your Mind Ministry International all over the world. God bless you. We thank you for the gifts, the love gifts, and the seeds that are sown, and even the alms giving. Hallelujah. We thank God. Hallelujah. Even as some folk giving up tithes, we thank God. If this is where you get that, well, bless God. You're doing it the biblical way. But if you're part of another church and you don't send your tithes to us, you give it to your local church where you get fed on a consistent basis. But God bless you real good. Love you. Thank God for all of you. My goodness. Pastor
Peter,
something else you
want to
say before we go on? Hallelujah.
See, call us. See us the same place, Sunday, 3 o'clock. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Be blessed of the Lord. Be encouraged.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, same because he's given Jesus Christ. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ.
Jesus,
let the weak say I am strong.
Let the poor say I am weak.
Because of what the Lord has done for us.
And now let the weak say I am strong.
Because of what the Lord has done
for us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Together. you don't mind, I feel like having a little church in here. The devil is smiling because he's suicide. What's in the middle? Come on. Oh, oh, okay, yeah.
When I think about the goodness and the fullness of God, make me thankful, pity, and hate, and grateful. The Lord will be through this world. I'm trying to be you when I pray for grace.